So the topic, just to introduce myself a little bit. My name is Bolaji Fapunda, and I'm an independent consultant based in Germantown, Maryland. In my previous experiences, I worked with John Snow Incorporated, JSI, and actually this work that I'm presenting today was conducted while I was with them, with other colleagues. So it's still an ongoing work anyway, so that's what I'm going to be presenting to you. I have a PhD from Cornell University, several years now, and I've been working in maternal, newborn, and child health area for upward of 10 to 12 years now. So we'll have time to talk more after the presentation, if you need more introduction. Okay, so the topic, I'm going to be speaking on behavioral risk patterns among women who deliver themselves with no one present in northern Nigeria. And by way of outline, so I'm going to go very briefly through the rationale, that is, why is it an important topic, what is the objective, and how are we attacking it, and what are the results, what are the key actions for addressing this problem. In terms of learning objectives, so I'm hoping that by the end of this presentation, that you'll be able to define the terms that are used in the paper. For instance, what does delivery with no one present mean? What is the definition of other approaches to delivery? Use of skill, unskilled attendants, in contrast with unskilled attendants, risky maternal, newborn, and child health practices. What do we mean by that? Then we also describe the prevalence of delivery with no one present in Nigeria, that at the end of this meeting, we'll be able to do that. Understand the concentration of maternal, newborn, and child health risks among women who deliver with no one present, and the implications of that for maternal and newborn health. And that we'll be able to identify, at the end of this presentation, a few of the policy and program priorities for addressing delivery with no one present in northern Nigeria. So those are some of the things that I think, at the end of this presentation, you'll be able to go home with. Now, let's look at the terms right away and just get that out of our way. Skilled birth attendant, what does that mean? It means, person formally trained, a skilled birth attendant, a person formally trained in the provision of delivery services. In Nigeria, this will include a doctor, a nurse, a midwife, or auxiliary nurse, auxiliary midwife. And skilled birth attendants would therefore be the facility that he uses. Mostly, they are co-terminals in Nigeria, actually, because most of the births that use skilled birth attendants also have occurred in health facilities. Now, the unskilled birth attendants are persons without any formal training in the areas that we mentioned, traditional birth attendants. And then delivery with no one present just means woman was attended by no one. That is, this is the act of women delivering with no one there. She's her own delivery attendant. Risky maternal, newborn, and child health practices just refers to proven MNCH interventions that are not utilized or that are incorrectly utilized among the study population. So that's what we mean, that how many of these practices, interventions that are proven to save lives, are women complying with, and how many are they not complying with or using correctly. So those are, are the definitions. Now, the rationale for the study. The key question we want to ask, actually, is how do women who give birth with no one present fare in the continuum of care through the first 1,000 days. So if you look at the first 1,000 days postpartum, how do these women fare? Are these women likely to also practice other risky MNCH practices, as we said? Are they more likely to also not breastfeed, to not use reproductive health facility? Are they more likely to not present children that are sick for care? We will see that in a moment. So that's the key question that we want to ask. We're asking, is there something unique about this woman? Why would women in the 21st century deliver without anybody watching, not even kids? And this is in a rural environment. So those are some of the things we don't know why. But to justify why looking at this issue is very important, let's just look at some of the reasons. So, I mean, some of what we know in the literature, we know that delivery with no one present is prevalent. About 14% of women of reproductive age gave birth with no one present in 2013 by DHS, according to the DHS report. And that is roughly 1 million women, you know, in Nigeria. And then, you know, the reasons for why women give birth with no one present has been documented. And I'll just, you know, just go through some of those reasons with you. So these are the reasons women give, you know, finance problems, you know, cost of services, expensive medicine supplies, payment policies, social and normative factors, including unsupportive husband authority. In other words, most men do not support use of facilities because, you know, this is a heavily Muslim area also where protection of women, not wanting another man to see, you know, your wives, you know, is very rampant. And they do that because most of their facilities are staffed by men. So, you know, this sex issue. Deceptive delivery experiences. In other words, women who delivered before at home with no problems feel like it's going to continue to be like that. Diminishing social, economic, and emotional value of children. We can, you know, deal with this in a moment. And then quality of care matters. That argument that health facilities is not providing respectful maternal care for per the WHO recommendation. These are some of the reasons that women give for delivering with no one present. But the issue is that evidence suggests that women who deliver with no one present, I mean that delivery with no one present, tend to be associated with, you know, fatal maternal and neonatal health outcomes. So, you know, the reasons may be good, but the children are dying and the women are dying. And of course, you know, Nigeria has one of the highest, after India, Nigeria has the highest burden of maternal deaths, you know, globally. And also very high neonatal deaths, about 10% of global neonatal deaths is contributed by Nigeria. And women that deliver with no one present has been shown to also have a very high probability of losing their children. So these are some of the, this is the risk. This is an important issue that there's, it's possible that there is a linkage, you know, that between delivery with no the likelihood of the mother and or child dying. As I said, you know, delivery with no is very prevalent in Nigeria, but 40% this is a map of Nigeria showing the prevalence. You know, Nigeria has six regions marked by these different colors. This area here. You see the area that is marked, so we have north, northwest, you know, over there, and then rightmost is the northeast, and then the central area is north central. The ones that are in the shades of yellow is the southern part of the country. And of course, if you look at the legends, you see that the delivery with no one present range from 27.5 to 1.4. So the northern region is the region that contributes most of the no one present deliveries. And that's the region where you have maternal mortality rates in about over 1,000 deaths per 100,000 live births. So, and then also neonatal mortality rate is very, very high in that area. So just to paint that picture for you. Now, okay, so we know that women also who deliver with NOP also report very serious delivery complications. And this tends to help to link the possibility of a correlation, of high correlation actually, between delivery with NOP and the probability of child and mother dying. Child and or mother dying, you know, together. So let me show you an example. For instance, this is data that was collected from one of the states in the northwestern part of Nigeria, the state that, you know, the region that we're focusing on, as you see in a moment. And you can see that, you know, the three leading complications that have been reported among these women are postpartum bleeding or PPH, heavy bleeding, placenta retention, obstetric fistula tear. And these are also, you know, if you look at the literature, they have been reported to be leading killers of women in Nigeria. And so, you know, so this is just showing, you know, substantiating the fact that, fatal, that delivery with NOP is associated with very fatal health outcomes. And so it's an important factor to look at. Now, this slide here shows we're looking at proportion of women who deliver with no one present. It's actually a global. It's based on this is a sub-Saharan Africa data. Each of those dots in this chart actually correspond to a country. And over there you see Nigeria. So you can see that there is some correlation with, you know, as the proportion of, I mean, delivering with NOPE increases, that number of children that are dying, you know, neonatal mortality rates tend to increase. You know, this is just to paint the picture for us of why this is a very important topic to deal with. And up till 2 years ago, actually, nobody was focusing on this, because whenever we're looking at, delivery health, people focus more on skip birth attendance and how that is contributing towards, and so the other side is always lumped together. But delivery with no one present is not the same as delivery with unskilled attendance, you know, because, and even for programming purposes, for policy purposes, I was sharing with a colleague of mine here that it's very easy to deal with women who are delivering with no one present in terms of program and policy to address it and to see very immediate results in the health outcomes than it is to deal with people who deliver at home with someone present, because people deliver at home with someone present has all kinds of social cultural dimensions, reasons why they're supported by culture, supported by religion, supported by their economic status that account for why they do that. Whereas for NOPE, you know, it's, you know, as we've seen in a moment, it's more easier to take a look at that. That's actually why I'm interested in it. That I hope that the government will catch this vision, because right now, you know, we did some qualitative work in Nigeria. We find that mostly the policymakers that ought to be formulating policies to address this problem, they're still in the denial mode. They tell you it's not happening. They don't believe it's happening. But the statistics telling us that it is happening. So, you know, for instance, one of the propositions we're making in the country is to have actually find a way of convincing the policymakers so that they will they can address this problem. Let me go very quickly. So we are speculating that women who deliver with no more present must also be likely to undertake other risky maternal and neonatal child health practices throughout the continuum of care. Now, so the objective, you know, I hope you're following me. The objective of this study is actually to examine that last, you know, speculation, to examine whether mothers who deliver with no one present are also likely to expose themselves and their newborns to health risks by not complying with recommended MSCH practices proven to save lives, and based on study findings, to venture some recommendations for an appropriate interventions to address the problem, as well as, you know, the problem of concentration of risk among these women and or eradicate the practice altogether. Now, in terms of methodology, the study area, as I said, is the northwestern part of Nigeria. Again, if you look at this, that's this area. The area that's in the blood red over there, up, that's not the western part of Nigeria. That's the area that has the highest rate. In fact, there are seven states in that region, and one of the states has up to 45% of the women who delivered with no one present last in 2013. So it's a very serious problem in that region. So that's the region we're focusing on. And in terms of population, that region has about 46 million people. In terms of socioeconomic characteristics, 63% of the women have no formal education. 82% are in the three bottommost wealth quintiles in terms of that is the poor. 22% live in urban areas, and contraceptive prevalence is only 4.3% in this region. As I said, the maternal mortality ratio in that region is 10.25 deaths per 100,000 live births, and then neonatal mortality rate is about 44 per 1,000 live births. So, just to give you some impressions about what's happening in this area now, so that we can appreciate why looking at this factor is very important, particularly since there's a linkage that this delivery option may be contributing to maternal and neonatal mortality rates. Study data, we use DHS, because DHS is the industry's best practice. We thank those that are doing this good work. Data quality, you know, of course, this is DHS, so IRB approval, written consent, and in terms of analysis, the analysis utilized both bivariate and multivariate regression procedures. Now, these are the indicators that we use. Our dependent variable, we're looking at the delivery with NOPE, with delivery with no 1% versus other methods, you know, skill bad attendance and unskilled bad attendance. Independent variables, we're looking at the behavioral measures that I mentioned. We measure those behavioral risk measures using about 9 different measures. So we're looking at nine different measures were selected, you know, across the continuum of care. We're looking at contraceptive use, antenatal care, visits were used at postnatal checkup following delivery, time women breastfed following delivery, exclusive breastfeeding first 3 days of the child's life, item ownership, under 5, you know, ownership of health records, health card that allows the mother to monitor child health, interaction of the child with the health facility. And then we're also looking at these 4 measures of home-based management of illnesses. So you can see, so before delivery, even before conception through delivery, through what happens to the child. That's what I mean when we say we're looking at the continuum of care from when the child was born until at least for the first 1,000 days of life. Now, then we introduce some socioeconomic controls, you know, as usual, just to be able to refine the independent variables that we're looking at. And these are the measures that we use. You know, when we have the discussion, if there's anything that's unclear, we can go through it. Like right now, I just like to go to the results so we can have a taste of that before, so that I don't take too much of your time. Now, this is a bivariate table. This table is showing the association between women who deliver with no 1% by some socioeconomic characteristics. So for the characteristics that we looked at, we look at mother's age, residence, religion, education, wealth, the household wealth, region of residence, and children ever born. Of course, you can see, for instance, if you look at age, that the proportion given birth with no 1% increases as age increases. You see 14 up to 32. And if you look at wealth quintile there, you see that the proportion who give birth among the poor double that among the rich. So this is, you know, there's an economic conditioning, you know, that's involved in this. And then you look at children ever born. You can see, for instance, the mean children ever born among women who give birth with no is 5.5, but only 4.6 of these surviving as at the time this study was conducted. So that's the difference of one child. So that just gives you the impression and supports the information we give earlier. Then look at people who are giving birth with skilled birth attendants. Of course, we know those that are giving birth with skilled birth attendants, it's small. The proportion is very low, but so we see it's stable across the age groups, you know, except for this age group where, you know, we see some decline. But you see it's very high in urban area and very high among women that are educated. So very high among, you know, also you see in terms of children ever born that they're more likely to not experience that much, you know, deaths of children. So you know, this is showing us that there is some economic thing that is going on here. There is some education effect, and there is some, you know, we'll see later that there is some a place of residence issue also. And then, you know, the more children women have, it looks like the more that women who deliver with them are more likely to have more children than those who deliver with, you know, with skill birth attendance. So let's look at, now, what we have done in this chart is we summarize the measure of the most risky measures into an interval level data. So we basically are calculating here how many risky practices per woman. So on average, we're finding that women deliver with NOPE are likely to either not comply or to not actually even use about 7 of the 9 interventions that we measured. And for those who deliver with unskilled attendance, it is the same. But the only difference is that at least these people, they have, the people who deliver with skill attendance, okay, I'm glad that this is, yeah, so these people here, they have, because somebody is with them, so if something happens, at least somebody can shout before it becomes a life-threatening matter. And then here, 4.4, you know, by those who are delivering health facilities, doesn't seem to be an improvement, right? You know, because we don't want them to do anything wrong. But the thing with this is also because that they are in a place where they can get care. This one, if anything happens, it's over. It's just, you know, and you have to be in those areas to see. People know who died, you know, so it's a very serious matter. Now, what we have done here is to look at to narrow down the comparison, to compare, actually, as I said, for policy matters, in terms of the momentum and the speed to actually get an impact, it's much easier to deal with people that having children without SNOP. And because there's a sizable proportion of the population that is still doing this, if we focus on them, we will gain a lot of mileage in a very short period of time. So what we have done is to compare them with women who are delivering with skill birth attendance. Of course, if you look through the continuum of care, you see that this red here is a proportion of women delivering with no one present. No, this is proportion of women delivering with SBA, with skill birth attendance, and the blue is for NOP. So NOP means no one present. Of course, you see across the continuum that, you know, you have more women not doing the right thing compared to those who deliver with skill birth attendance. Let's take, for instance, this one. Percent not checked after last delivery. That is, so when a woman delivers, it is the international standard recommendation is that the woman be checked by a skill attendant at least 2 days, you know, after delivery. You see that about 90% of women deliver with NOP say nobody checked them, and it is the truth. But you see, that's very not the case. So which means these women are very vulnerable, because if there was a problem, then they're just, it's easy for them to depart before time. And then also you look at here, you know, percent who reported diarrhea. When we are looking for health management of illnesses among children, percent who reported diarrhea among under five. This one looks like under five children. That is children under 5 years. You find that you have more about 60-something% among women with NOP say they had that situation. But then when you look at, the recommendation is that when the child has diarrhea, you give antibiotics, present the child at the health facility so that the child can receive antibiotics. But you see that very many, only a few, you know, about 40% of those children received treatment, the appropriate treatment. So this is a very serious problem. Now, so those Liberia relationship tells us that there is indeed some concentration of risk among women who deliver with NOP. So we subject this to a multivariate analysis to control for other likable factors that can contaminate, you know, the results that we saw, so that we refine and we partial out those effects to really see whether the effect that we saw will still stand. So we have two models here. Model one here is a model without the covariate. So for this model, we only control for the context, the social context of women's lives. And for the social context, we use two indicators, the state residence membership, state membership. That is, one state of the 7 states in that region do the women come from. And then we also use a not so regular indicator, but which is age of women. But I use that because, or we use that because we felt like The more a woman age in place, you know, coming from the sociological model, the more likely this woman is going to internalize values and of that area, and the more that value is going to act up in her behavior. So the older woman, I expect them to be more, you know, ingrained in the risk, you know, in their ability to take risk. Yes, sir. You know. So of course you see that there is very strong association, you know, between women who are taking this risk and propensity to deliver with, you know, no one present. And this is upheld when we control model two here, we control for the covariates, and you can see that those relationships remain stable. Now, you know, later, you know, during the discussion, we can go through this other ones that I'm just keeping through are just the COVID, the socioeconomic factors. Of course, you see, there are also the strong association between them. Now, there's one thing that I like to point your attention to. So we're now controlling for all those, for the risks and the socioeconomic variables. We also look at the effect of the state residence, which is that contextual factor. So, of course, you can see the reference here. We have seven states, and the reference state is Sokoto State. Well, those of you who are familiar, if I go to that map, we didn't actually show, you know, the states on the map, but I can just show you. Okay, so those states are here. So there are seven states in this corridor right here, and one of those states is Sokoto State. You have Sokoto State and six others. So we use Sokoto State, and I'll tell you the reason why you have that huge difference. As a reference category. So you see here that compared to Sokoto State, Zamfara, which has the largest, you know, NOP rate, is about six times more likely, than Sokoto. Women there have six times more likelihood of delivering with NOP. And also, you know, all of these states are, you have very, very, very strong difference between the state and Sokoto State. Now, why? And then when we control for all those covariates, you see the relationship is still very strong and very powerful. Why is this important? Sokoto State of this state, you know, is the only state of these six that have actually been exposed to very long-term programs that are oriented towards encouraging women to deliver health facilities, encouraging women to practice, you know, sensible maternal newborn child health practices. And so the point that I'm trying to make here is that even though the context may not be very, I mean, the context matter, but programs even matter more. So let me just summarize for us the key findings is that we found that about 92% that women who deliver with NOP are 92% less likely to use contraception, about 312% less likely to be checked postnatally. You see, 71% more likely to report a diarrheal disease, and 113% less likely to have presented that child for care. So, of course, we're looking at concentration of care, of risky practice among women who deliver with NOP. This is a very good example. That consistently we found that underutilization of good MNCH practices among women who deliver with NOP. We also, as I mentioned in the last statement I made, that program makes a difference, you know, if you compare Sokoto State. You know, these are just nuggets I'm giving out. We'll have time to chat to discuss more about this. But then programs have to be selective. So based on the findings and keeping to our outline, we came up with some of the program and policy recommendations. In terms of policy recommendations, for instance, given the concentration of risk, we are saying that integrated programs may be a better way to address concentration of risk than stovepiped, you know, hierarchical programs. And then, you know, focusing on women's access to income, finance, to good healthcare, facility delivery, and also improving women's education. That those would be very good programs policy programs in terms of addressing the prevalence of NOP in this region. And so I want to thank you very much for listening. During the discussion, we'll have a chance to chat more. Thank you. Mm-hmm.